Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and beginning with verse number 18. The Bible says, verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray that you'll help us so that we can do your will. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll make it a good time in your house. Lord, you know all of us. You know what we need, spiritually speaking. I pray that you'll be making provisions for us in this time. Please help us to submit to you and to gain what we need to have from your word this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen. In the first of verse number 18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying always. And of course, it's a great section on prayer. You can read all the way through, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Of course, I've been dealing with this idea of putting on the whole armor of God, and I've been putting a great emphasis on the Word of God. You and I are to put on the whole armor of God by reading and studying and memorizing and meditating upon the Word of God and by applying the Word of God to our lives. And of course, just because you read it and study it and memorize it, if you're not making application of it to your life, that doesn't mean you've got the whole armor of God. But God has provided for us so that in the midst of spiritual warfare, we can have this spiritual armor. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You and I, if we're going to be victorious spiritually, are to take on the whole armor of God. Now, along with the reading and the studying, the meditating upon the Word of God, we, of course, are to be praying, and the Bible even uses those words, praying always. We are to be praying, and sometimes people may put a great emphasis on the Bible, but the Bible does put an emphasis on praying. You can look in the book of Psalms. Of course, there's so much about prayer there and in other places. There was a disciple that said after Jesus prayed, "Lord, teach us to pray." It's a very dangerous thing for the believer to neglect the reading of the Word of God and prayer. And people may have interaction with others. It may seem as though they're very active in ministry and they are very active in dealing with other individuals, fellow individuals, and yet they may be lacking in this area of praying to the Lord, communicating with the Lord. Now, the Lord told the Christian soldier to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With the sword of the Spirit, we might think about something that would normally be for a close quarter fighting. We might think about someone using the sword in hand-to-hand combat. But then the Bible also talks about prayer. And there are times when it might be said that we can send those long shots out. There might be times when maybe we cannot get to someone to speak to them. We can't speak a word from the Word of God to them personally. But still, that doesn't mean we can't pray for them. Years ago, of course, history tells us about the longbow. And in English history, the longbow was instrumental. In fact, it dominated, from what I understand, it dominated the battlefield for a while in that area. Because of the ability to reach way out, to shoot people a long distance away. Years ago, Ben and I had gone to the Fred Bear Museum of Archery. They built bows, and then they also had that museum there. And one of the things I found interesting was a relatively small bow, and from very many years ago, and the arms of the bow rolled around, And apparently it was made so that when the bow was drawn, those arms would straighten out, and it was made so that a person could shoot a long distance. Even though he had a relatively small bow, he could shoot a long distance. Now, of course, in more modern warfare, soldiers might have been pinned down by enemy fire, and they might have radioed to others to send forth the planes so that they could attack a place that the enemy was holed up in. And you and I, as we are praying to the Lord, we might ask the Lord to do things in places that we cannot be. We may ask the Lord to reach people that we cannot reach. Sometimes it might be we've done all we know to do, but yet we still can pray. I've dealt with this idea of witnessing. Of course, sometimes you may have opportunities to talk to someone about the Lord. It might be that you talk to someone about the Lord a few times, and then after a while it might seem as though the door is closed, or at least closed for then. And yet, that doesn't mean you can't pray. You might talk to a person a few times about the Lord, but then you might 1,000 times talk to the Lord about the person. And so you and I are to use this weapon. We are to use this tool of prayer. And of course, by using prayer, it shows us, shows that we have a loyalty to the commander. Imagine a soldier on the field that never talks to his commander, that doesn't accept any communication from the commander. He's an isolated soldier. Well, that could be a dangerous thing for a soldier of the cross, to be an isolated soldier. In fact, Christian soldiers are to stay in communication with their commanders, with their commander, so that he can do his will in warfare. We're to fight the good fight of faith, and we're to do what God wants us to do in warfare. Part of the old song, on to victory, cries our great commander on. We'll move at his command. We'll soon possess the land through loyalty. Loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Well, a sign of loyalty is wanting to know what the commander wants you to do. Instead of just doing what you want to do or what you think would be good to be done, to ask the commander, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Bible talks about David. He fought against the Philistines. The Philistines were great enemies of Israel. There was one particular time that David communicated with the Lord about fighting the Philistines. And David might have simply assumed the Philistines are our enemy, and so it doesn't matter where I meet them. It doesn't matter where I have the opportunity. It's good for me to attack the Philistines. Well, the Bible tells one time that David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told him, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David smote the Philistines. A few verses later in that section, the Bible tells us that David inquired of the Lord again. And the Lord said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Now, when David heard the sound of going in the mulberry trees, then he was to go to battle. Now, the Bible doesn't say David just simply said, the Philistines are the enemy. God wants me to fight the Philistines. I'll go fight them. And they're out there, and so I'll go fight them. But instead, he inquired of the Lord. And the soldiers in the Lord's army are to inquire of the Lord. Remember this, the great reason why the children of Israel failed when it came to, they fell for the disguise of the Gibeonites, was the fact that they failed to ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. I think in that case, they probably looked at the Gibeonites and they thought, well, their bread is moldy and their wine bottles are cracked and old and their clothes are old and their shoes are, as it might be said, tied up. And so they might have looked at them and thought, certainly, it must be according to what they said that they've come from a great distance, from a far country, when they were lying and they had disguises on. And if they had simply asked counsel at the mouth of the Lord, God could have told them. In our day, there's so much deception and so many ways to scam and deceive, but I still have a God in heaven. And thank the Lord, I can go to Him and ask Him. And God, the most intricate, complicated plans of man to deceive men can be fouled if we'll go to the Lord and we'll ask the Lord, what's the truth in this matter? And thank the Lord for the God that we have that knows all, and the God that we have that has all power. The Apostle Paul was a preacher of the Word of God, a preacher of the gospel. And imagine if God, if the Apostle Paul had the attitude, there are sinners all about me, and Jesus Christ has spoke about taking the gospel to every creature, and therefore it doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter who, I'm just supposed to be out there giving out the gospel. Yet the Bible tells me in Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 6 that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. In verse number 7, the Bible says, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Finally, they endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called them to preach the gospel unto them. Communicate with your commander. Communicate with your commander. You and I that are saved by the grace of God are to be soldiers in the army of Christ. It is so important. It is a sign of our loyalty to the Lord if we are communicating with our commander, asking him what he wants us to do. Listen to these words. The pure-hearted praying man is spiritually superior to the man that is poor in praying. If you are a great prayer, then you are a great Christian. The measure of your prayer life is the measure of your spirituality. The place that you give in your life to prayer is the place that you give in your life to God. If you are too busy to pray, then you are too busy at something or some things for God. Too busy for God, imagine that. A neglect of prayer is a neglect of God. A lack of prayer indicates a lack of faith in God and a lack of love for God. You are no better than your prayer life. You will rise no higher with God than you rise in your prayer life. If you are not much of a prayer, then you are not much of a Christian. In the book of Luke in chapter number 18, if I remember it correctly, the Bible gives the account of the publican and the Pharisee. Now here the Pharisee was a religious leader. And people may have thought the Pharisee was a great man of God. And yet the Bible tells me that the Pharisee prayed with himself. And sometimes people may be praying with themselves. Sometimes it might be they're not getting through to God. They're not getting answers to prayer. They're putting on a pretense. And the Pharisees, everything they did was to be seen of men, according to the Scriptures. I don't know that I would have made that strong of a statement against them had the Bible, had not Christ made it. And imagine those people praying and praying for pretense, making prayer and making prey of widows. Imagine those people praying and praying and praying long prayers, praying with themselves and not really getting through to God. If we're going to be soldiers in the army of Christ and be what we ought to be for the Lord, then we need to be communicating with the commander. Think about your prayer. Study to pray. Prepare to pray. Search the Scriptures for patterns for prayer. Learn lessons from Bible characters about prayer. Judge your prayers according to the Scriptures. Strive to make your prayers pleasing and acceptable to God. Work at prayer. If you have entered into the school of prayer, and if you're saved by the grace of God, you got at least one prayer answered, and that's when you cried out to the Lord. Now, if you've entered into this school of prayer, and you're still here in this life, you have not graduated from the school of prayer. You have not perfected prayer. There are still things for you to learn. I got saved when I was 19, so over 45 years ago. I prayed that prayer. God saved my soul. But I have not graduated. I've still got things to learn. I've been learning, and I still have things to learn about prayer. Notice, if you will, verse number 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Number one, consider those words, praying always. Continuity in prayer. Continue to pray. In the book of Colossians in chapter number 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If we kept those two commandments, if you and I prayed always, continued in prayer, if you and I prayed without ceasing, and you and I gave thanks, as we ought to give thanks, giving thanks for everything, because that's the will of God. If you and I fulfilled those two commandments, then our minds would be completely captivated, and we would be fully employed. But I admit, so often I have failed and failed and failed in this area of those two areas, praying and thanking the Lord. First of all, consider this. Have set times for prayer and use prayer lists if God so leads you to do so. Have set times for prayer. Now, the Bible says pray without ceasing. The Bible says pray always. But you may find that it's a help to you to have some set times for prayer. The Bible tells me about Daniel, kneeled on his knees, prayed three times a day, gave thanks. He did that before it was outlawed. He did it after it was outlawed. He prayed the three times a day. In the book of Psalm 55 in verse number 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, think about that evening, morning. And of course, you and I might normally think about morning and noon and evening, but three times in a day praying. Now, if you take time three times a day to pray, that's a good start. And if you are praying three times a day and you've got, let's say, for instance, you've got a prayer list that you go through, or perhaps prayer lists that you go through every time, then that may help. It doesn't mean that you feel the commandment completely, but at least it could be a start to praying as you ought to pray. Then number two, be quick to pray. Romans chapter number 12, verse 12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. It would be so good if I were more instant in prayer. If that would be what I would more readily go to, is praying about a matter. It is so easy for us to be thinking about it, to be asking others about it, instead of going first of all to the Lord to see what He says about a matter. Are we guilty of superficial separation without inward sanctification unto prayer? Now, sometimes people have got standards, and it's good. It's good to have standards. Good to have good standards. We might think about the Pharisee, for instance. Now, that was in Luke chapter number 18. Now, imagine he had standards. And yet, you may have standards. You may have some things that you believe are right to do, but even though you seem separated on the outside, are you separated unto the Lord in prayer on the inside? Sometimes people are so, and I've talked about the Pharisee already. In the case of the Pharisee, he was not getting through to God. The publican went down and he cried out to God for mercy, he got through and he was justified. Not the Pharisee. He was praying with himself. It can be easier, I think, to have some superficial separation, easier than having inward sanctification unto the Lord in prayer. Now, of course, the Bible talks about the Pharisees, and they were concerned about the outside of the cup and the outside of the outside of the cup and the outside of the platter. And, of course, the Pharisees were concerned about the outside when they should have been concerned about the inside. And, of course, I've talked about this in the past, and I've done a lot more dishwashing lately than I used to. But I think when you're dishwashing, if you'll clean the inside, a lot of times the outside is not so hard to deal with. There's not much to deal with if you'll deal with the inside. And sometimes if people would deal with the inside, a lot of things on the outside would be taken care of. But so often we're not dealing with the inside. How much of a prayer are you? Remember, I say, I'm going to refer back to this, you're no better than your prayer life. You'll rise no higher than your prayer life. Be instant in prayer. Listen to these words. The absolute unceasingness of Paul's prayer immensely impresses us. In his own well-known words about himself, Paul was praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, that read literally may look to us like the language of a man gone into absolute exaggeration and extravagance about prayer, but it is not so. Always and unceasing, Paul made no exception and found no discharge from that war. We must imitate Paul in this and take far more time to prayer than we have ever yet taken. I am as certain as I am standing here that the secret to much mischief to our own souls and to the souls of others lies in the way we stint and starve and scamp our prayers by hurrying over them. Prayer worth calling prayer, prayer that God will call true prayer, takes far more time by the clock than one man in 1,000 thinks. Now, of course, many people, in fact, most people are not on praying ground. Most people can't get a prayer through. And then of those that are truly saved and they can pray as children of God, I believe that many times we are not praying like we ought to. Many times we're falling far short of praying like we ought to pray. Now, you and I are to give the time that we should in prayer, but, and I want you to understand this, we should not expect God to stop the world so that we can pray. God is not going to do that. In fact, if you've been saved very long, you may see, have seen in your life that sometimes you would like to just get aside and pray, but life keeps pushing you along. There are responsibilities. There's time to be taken for rest. And you and I are to pray. In fact, a minister, let's say if a minister, and this is, he's full time, so to speak, in the ministry. And maybe he's got a testimony where he spends many hours every day in prayer. I'm not sure that I would be as impressed with that as I am the man that's perhaps working a job, got a variety of other things going on, but he is praying as he goes. I believe that we need to learn how to breathe prayer. I confess this, even though I am better. In fact, over the years, God's helped me so that I'm better when it comes to a daily prayer, to daily prayer times. But I have failed. I have failed tremendously in this thing of just praying as I go. And don't expect God to always just set aside hours for you to spend some time in prayer outside of other activities. You just may have to learn to pray as you go. And I have not mastered that. And I'm not saying I don't ever do it, but I'm not mastered it. I'm nowhere close. And I think by the grace of God, I need to keep working on this area, praying as I go, praying in the midst of activities, praying in the midst of trouble, praying in the midst of good times, praying right on through. We're going to have to do that if we're going to pray always, if we're going to pray unceasing. Then number two, consider this. Variety in prayer. The Bible says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The word prayer, we might consider general communication to God. The word supplication, humbly, submissively, asking God for the fulfillment of a need. You and I are to be praying, and there can be different things to pray about. There can be some cases we may need to be asking God, beseeching God, begging God to do some things for someone. Sometimes it might be that we need spiritual help ourselves. We have a dryness ourselves. There can be a variety of things to pray about and to thank the Lord for. A variety in prayer. Prayer can be an exercise of the inner man. Prayer can challenge you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Listen to these words. What an outlet for your largest mind, for your deepest heart, for your richest and ripest individuality. Instead of the life of prayer being a monotony and a weariness, as we think it, there is simply no exercise of the body and no operation of the mind and no affection of the heart for one moment to compare with prayer, for interest and for variety and for freshness and for elasticity and for all manner of intellectual and spiritual outlet and reward. You and I, we need to be praying in about a variety of things. We can pray in a variety of ways. I believe that we are to work at prayer. I know that we may go to the Lord in a childlike faith, and we should. But let us not forget that when we go to the Lord in prayer, we are praying to God Almighty, God all-knowing. If one of you were to talk to a little child today, you might, as it might be said, lower yourself to talk to that child in a way that would appeal to the child, in a way, you might say, almost be, sometimes an adult may almost act childlike to talk to a child. And then he may turn around in a business conversation, and he may speak about facts and figures. Now think about us talking to God. And I think so often people that profess to be saved, they do not exercise themselves. I do not exercise myself in prayer. There's not the attempt to pray to God as I ought to pray to God. Sometimes there can be the attempt to run through a list. What about praying to the Lord as you ought to pray to the Lord? Listen to these words. Of course, God does not need to be convinced. No argument can make any plainer to him the claims of trusting souls to his intervention, claims based on upon his own word, confirmed by his oath. He loves to have us set before him our cause, and His own promise is He delights in the well-ordered plea where argument is piled upon argument. We're to argue our case with God, not indeed to convince Him, but to convince ourselves in praying to Him that by His own word and oath and character, He has bound Himself to interpose. We demonstrate to our own faith that He has given us the right to ask and claim, and that He will answer our plea because He cannot deny Himself. When it comes to praying to the Lord, I think so often people, believers or professing believers, don't work at prayer. What if you and I took it as a goal that by the grace of God, we would present prayers that are more pleasing to Him? That's the way we are to pray and get prayers answered. You and I are to pray in such a way that God is pleased with our praying. And when we have run out, when we have run our limit, and we know not what else to say, thank the Lord, there's the Holy Spirit that makes intercession. And so you and I are to pour ourselves out in prayer, and I believe it's good if we work at our praying. We are to pray in the Spirit. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You and I that are saved by the grace of God are to be led of the Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, can lead us in prayer to make our prayers more what they ought to be, to make our prayers more pleasing. And when we go to the Lord and we ask Him, whatsoever will, if it pleases Him, we talk, go to the book of 1 John about the confidence. And we can have a confidence that when we ask whatsoever we will that is pleasing to Him, He'll answer that. And I think it falls upon us. And this is by the grace of God, and we can't do it by ourselves, but to pray in such a way that is pleasing to Him. And then, number three, perseverance in prayer. Notice the Bible says in verse number 18, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Perseverance in prayer. There's a Luke chapter number 11, and the disciple asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he went right on into the story about the man that went to a friend's house. And he'd had a friend that came, and he didn't have any bread to give him. And so he knocked, and he asked for bread, three loaves. And the man talked as though he was in bed, and he would not give him anything. But there was the importunity. And imagine that man standing outside. Friend, give me some bread. I need some bread. Oh, go away. Friend, I need some bread. In that case, in a case like that, it might have been that after a while there would be curtains that would have opened up. Maybe some people looking outside. What's going on out there? Friend, give me some bread. And imagine after a while maybe some lights coming on where people are lighting candles, lighting lamps, because they want to know what is going on out there. And the dog's barking. And if a dog barks in Florida, 8 hours later, one may bark in Texas in response. And imagine that man outside, friend, give me some bread. I think so often we don't ask and ask and ask and seek and seek and seek and knock and knock and knock. We don't have perseverance in prayer. The Bible says in that scripture, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you were having a very hard situation to have someone that would be praying, a friend, for instance, that would be praying, persevering. And while you're struggling, they're still persevering, knocking, even though it's not popular with some, even though some may think you might as well give up, persevering in prayer. We're to persevere for the saints in prayer. We can go to the Syrophoenician woman example. And, of course, the disciples spoke to Christ about sending her away. She hung in there, though. And she spoke to her as though she was a dog. And she said something like, yet even the dogs get the crumbs under the master's table. Instead of being insulted and walking away, it's as though she took it and used it in prayer. And you and I are to be persevering in prayer, even though it seems as though that there's no use. Persevere in prayer. Supplication for all saints. We are in an army. Those of us that are saved by the grace of God and fighting for Christ, we are in an army. And in the army, and I've dealt with this already, but you can have the wounded soldiers. You may have one that he didn't have his helmet, and he got struck in the head. He's having some real problems. He's had the doubts about his salvation. And you may find that another didn't have his breastplate of righteousness, and a fiery dart of the devil came. And he didn't have his shield of faith, and that fiery dart came and got him. And you may find those that have become fearful and ran from the fight, turned from the fight. They didn't have a, they had a breastplate, but the breastplate did not cover the back, and they got it in the back. And we look out across the battlefield, we may find there's a variety of soldiers that are wounded. There might be some that are like David, when the son of the giant, he thought to kill him. He was faint, he waxed faint, and yet the fellow soldier succored him and helped him. In this army and in this warfare, and there is a battle going on whether we know it or not. In this battle, in this warfare, we need to be praying for other soldiers, for fellow soldiers. Notice verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There's a need for praying for those that God has called to preach the Word of God, to preach it boldly. There's a need for praying for those that are to witness, for those that are to teach. There's a need for us to pray. In fact, notice the Bible says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me. Utterance. And of course, he needed to be able to open his mouth. He needed to be able to speak with clarity. But he needed to be able to speak boldly the mystery of the gospel. I believe that if there's a person that is praying for one that is preaching or witnessing, teaching, if there's someone that prays for that person and God, in response to the prayer, helps that individual that is preaching or witnessing or teaching, that there'll be reward for the one that was praying for the other. Everyone is not a preacher. Everyone is not a teacher. And there may be some people that would like to be out and witness to some folks, but they're bedridden and can't do what they have done in the past. But still, a person like that might pray for others that are out there in the midst of the battle. You and I need to pray. And once again, I say this, we are no better than our prayer lives. If you're not a good prayer, you're not a good Christian. I need help. I need to do better. Thank the Lord I've done better, but I need to do much better. And so this is one area you may say, well, I think I'm okay when it comes to the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and my feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I think I'm okay in those other areas. What about this idea of prayer? How are you doing? If you will, please stand. Can we have the pianist come and just pick out an invitation song? Brother, I'm just gonna handle it right now. If you will, please stand and